Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, we're in Yeshayahu chapter 42. So, a lot of the prophecy dealt with Eretz Yisrael. First we dealt with the destruction, then we deal with the exile, and then we also deal with the coming back to Eretz Yisrael. And that's one reason Yeshayahu is very popular in Israel, is that so much of his prophecies sound like modern Israel, with, you know, people coming back and the rebuilding and the turning the desert back into vegetation and to farmland. And so it rings very, it's really something to read a book of the prophet written 2,000 years ago that people would look at even 50 years ago and said, how could this ever happen? And it's happening in front of people's eyes. And so it rings very strong, the book of Yeshayahu. It's also important for our faith. There's a reluctance to focus too much on the future, messianic kind of stuff, tough stuff about souls, and sometimes because there were a lot of imposters, and sometimes it meant we'd have to debate the Christians. But on the other hand, it's very important that a Jew knows what we believe in. And in fact, there's a list of beliefs that the Rambam says that we have in the back of the Siddur, that a person, you know, we believe in the Mashiach, but most people don't even know what the Mashiach is. What surprises me is that even people that are Jewish and sometimes religious, what they think the Mashiach is shocking, because they have no idea. They think it could be some kind of person, some kind of regular person who has a beard or whatever, or they don't really get it. When Mashiach comes, we're going to know it. There's no question about that. It's going to be, and life is going to be different. And we haven't met a person who, if we met the Mashiach, we would know it. It's not going to be a secret to us who he is. We don't need other people to tell us that good news, about who the Mashiach is and potentially is, or this and that. We will know when we meet the Mashiach what the Mashiach is and what the Mashiach stands for. It begins the following. Hey, Nazi. The Mashiach is called a servant of Hashem. The Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the greatest person who ever lived, when Hashem wants to praise him, he calls him my servant. He's a person dedicated to Hashem. Most of us have our own needs for our own selves, but if a person is able to totally be dedicated to Hashem, they're called the servant of Hashem. David HaMelech used that when in the Hallel he says, "Ani Avdecha, I am the servant, the son of your maidservant," you know, because his mother was so dedicated to Hashem. That's also something that we, you know, the great people get it from their mom. You know, it's the Ani Avdecha ben Amasecha. But we need that leader who will bring us back and will be that servant of Hashem. Some of the strange messiahs that have been throughout history were not servants of Hashem. They even after Shabbosai Tzvi adopted Islam, there were people who said he was the Mashiach, which was just totally ridiculous. How you could have the Mashiach be a Muslim. The trick, there was another person who was potentially the Mashiach who they thought might was Bar Kokhba, and when the sages saw that he was doing things that weren't in line with the way Hashem would want them, then they understood that he wasn't the Mashiach, because the Mashiach has to be first a servant of Hashem, a person dedicated to the rules and committed to them, and somebody that is a servant, is somebody that serves Hashem as the master. Esmachol, I will support him. Bechiri, he's my chosen one. Ratzatza Nafshi, he's somebody who's desirable to Hashem. Nestati Ruchi Alav, Hashem says, I'm going to give him a spirit on him. And it's an interesting thing. Mishpat Lagoyim Yotza, he's going to not only be a leader to the Jews, he's going to be a leader to the whole world. And he, one of the things that we've had before about the prophets is that they said prophecy to the non-Jewish nations as well. The Mashiach, he's going to talk to the non-Jewish nations. But what he's going to talk to him about, a lot of them are going to need to hear mishpat, justice. And when we live in an unjust world, there'll be a lot of dictators that aren't going to want to hear from the Mashiach. But he's going to mishpat l'goyim yotzi. He's going to lay down the rules. He's going to give them the laws. Now, the way we're used to people enforcing their will is by somebody coming with an army, somebody being very tough. So this is a description. Lo Yitzhak, he's not going to scream. Lo Yisa, he's not going to carry on. Belishma b'chutz, and people won't be able to hear his voice outside. Now, some people, they speak softly and they carry a big stick. So maybe he's going to carry a big stick. No, Kanara, he's not even going to break a big stick. How is he going to do it then? How is it going to be that the Mashiach will be listened to? If he doesn't speak loud, if he doesn't break some sticks, how is he going to do it? Emesiyoti Mishpat. He's going to do it with truth. The power of truth is such that it's going to be heard. Now, a lot of people mean well in the beginning, and they get corrupted or they get tired. Lo yika v'lo yoret. He's not going to get weak and he's not going to get tired. Ad yotzim baretz mishpat. He's going to be focused on bringing justice to the world. Corruption and theft and harming people, none of this can continue to go on. So, and for his teachings, for his Torah, im yachayu, the islands, sometimes somebody's on the mainland, they listen to him, but people that are on the far off islands, they don't pick up on it. But when the Mashiach comes, even the people in the far off lands will be waiting to hear. They'll be waiting for instructions. What's interesting was in ancient times, you had to have a lot of belief to somehow figure that out, because let's say you had the Mashiach in Israel, how would anybody in Australia know about it? It took so long for communication to go from one side of the world. But today, instant. Today, we have no problem in that. This could have bothered somebody. How can it be that Mashiach will come and it'll influence the whole world? It'll take months for them to even hear about it. And what kind of message should you get? Today, it's no problem at all. Today, you get on a satellite or you get on the internet, and instantly you could be known all over the world. So it's just interesting that this could have been something that a person could have been convinced that there's no way there could be a Mashiach that will speak to the whole world. You know why? Because it's impossible. You'll need 100 Mashiachs. But in our world today, we have no problem with that. The communication is such that this issue that... that's why sometimes people get focused too much on some of the details. Sometimes there's a famous thing where it says the Mashiach isn't going to come on a Friday because we're too busy getting ready for Shabbos, and he wouldn't want to ruin our Shabbos. So the Gemara in one place says, well, what if the Mashiach comes today? And so that implies he could come on a Friday, but if he comes, we'll ask him why he came. You know, like, the details can all be figured out. But for many thousands of years, you had to have belief that somehow he would come. And we do have a concept like when the Torah was given that Hashem spoke and it was heard over a big distance. But if the Mashiach was a human being, so there were people that believed it would be some kind of miraculous voice. He's going to speak and he'll broadcast all over the world. But there were pragmatic people like the Rambam who didn't think Hashem would make a new miracle. Wondered, how could it be? But like I said, today we have no problem. The Mashiach can speak and he can be heard all over the world, and that's probably one of the reasons maybe Hashem has for the internet or for the satellites. But it's just so interesting how this one detail a person could have gotten very hung up on, that it's impossible to happen, it won't work, how could anyone? But today it doesn't bother us a bit that one person could communicate and reach everybody. Kolamar Hakel Hashem. This is what Hashem says. This actually, very interesting, begins one of the Haftorahs. This is the Haftorah for Bereshis, for creation. There's an idea that we went wrong from the very beginning. It was like the big shame of life was that Adam ate from the tree. He goofed. And history could have been a little different, but man was made to make mistakes. And there's an idea that the Mashiach is the one that's going to fix the original sin. He's going to fix the original mistake. In fact, the name Adam stands for Aleph, Dalet, Mem. Adam, David, Mashiach. It's like the It says that's the span. In other words, through the line of David was supposed to inaugurate the person who would help us overcome the sin of Adam. Bereishis talks about the creation of a world. The world originally was created to exist in the Garden of Eden, and that all of nature would subject itself to mankind. And then we blew it, and now we have to work our way back, and that'll come with this with the coming of the Mashiach. So this is what Hashem says: Kol Amar Hashem, Bar Shemayim. Hashem created the heavens, Venota Raka Aretz, and He spread out. It's almost like He planted them, and He created things. It says, "Nosin Neshama La'ama Leha," and He put a soul into the world. Now, the world is pretty empty without a soul. That's something that Hashem does, is that He puts a soul into a person. We have this idea that there's a Hashem puts a neshama, a soul, into a child before he's born. And when a person dies, the Malach HaMavos comes and takes the soul away. And the doctors don't really know where the soul is. They don't fully understand why certain people wake up, so to speak, and they live and they exist, and other people are vegetables. And you can fix a brain, but the brain should work, but it just doesn't. We don't know if some people are, they have a soul or they have a life, and somebody without a soul would be like a golem, like an unfinished, that's what a golem is like a, you know, just clay, you know, like a machine. But a soul is a different entity. And that comes from Hashem. Because our soul comes from Hashem, that's why we recognize when a person does something, a mitzvah, whatever, they have a sense that it's the right thing, that it's godliness, because there's a part of them that's from the divine. And the truth is, why should a person, for example, why should a person give? If you give somebody something you have, then you don't have it. So why would it would be natural for a person to want? The answer is that we have a soul that is part of Hashem, and Hashem our understanding of Hashem is that it's kindness and a want to give others. And since we have a spark of that in us, so that causes man to be unselfish and to want to give and want to do that. If we were strictly speaking, an animal isn't going to donate. You know, he's not going to give of himself. He's not going to give of his time. He can't get any donations from the but a human will, because he has the neshama. He has the soul. For ruach laholkenbo, and it's a spirit. Now, what is this all about? Ani Hashem kasicha betzedek. Hashem says, I call you in righteousness. There's a certain person has to start off with the words, he has to do what's right and correct. Chazik biyadecha. And sometimes it's not easy to do the right thing, but Hashem will strengthen us. Betzorcha. And Hashem formed us. Ve'ednecha lebris. And He made a covenant with us. What was our covenant? Or lagoyim, that we should be a light to the nations. The world's a dark place, and people don't know which way to. They can't see. And our job is to be the light, is to show people the way. It's a it's difficult for us, because as a people, we were just we're survivors from a big Holocaust, and we're still surviving from a terrible exile. And so it's a challenge to be a light to the nations. In some ways, we have it better in America, where there's less prejudice, that we could be a light to people, that we talk to people all the time that are open, that are in the dark, and we love to get our message across. La'or goyim. We want to, that's the goal, is to be a light to people. Now, verse 7, to continue on, l'pkoyach einayim, to open their eyes. There are people that are really blind. They're not seeing the truth is right in front of them. But l'pkoyach einayim ivrim, to open the eyes of the blind. L'hotziv maskir asir mibeis hakela, to save people that are sitting in a dungeon. Yoshei choshek, they're sitting in the darkness. People are entrapped by things. They have their, sometimes they call it, the people have their demons. They have their things that don't allow them to see the light, that don't allow them to enjoy themselves, that don't allow them to experience the spiritual. So the Mashiach is going to open the eyes. He's going to free people. People are stuck, they're bound. That's something that the Mashiach is going to do. You could understand that he'll come to heal people and take people out of prison, but it's more in a sense of he'll show them the light. People are going in darkness. Verse 8, Ani Hashem Hushmi. You know who I am? That's me, God. Ukvodi, and my honor, La'acher lo etein. There were people that felt that we shouldn't deal directly with Hashem. We have to deal with the sun, or we have to deal with the statue, or maybe Hashem appointed the sun and the moon to deal with. But when we daven, we say, or we have to deal with the prophet. All of that is alien to us Jews. When we say a blessing, we say, Baruch Atah, blessed are you. And when we pray, some people feel that you're not even allowed to pray to angels. That's a very strong, certainly we don't pray to the dead. There are some prayers that are questionable what they mean. But we pray to the boss. We really don't, Hashem said, I don't give my honor to anybody else. And certainly not to the statues. So there are those that claim that, yes, there is a creator, but he gave his power over to these statues represent the creator. There are versions of Christianity that are like that. The Russian Orthodox with all their statues that they claim to be monotheistic. And there's a debate, actually, whether they're considered idol worshippers or not. Because they say, well, there is a creator, but these statues represent this, you know, the cross, whatever represents the creator, the wafers represent the flesh, or whatever it is that they believe in. But they claim they believe in the so-called Old Testament. God says, I'm not in those kind of statues. That's what he says. He says, "Shmi Kvodi, my name and my honor. I don't hand that off. There's no. You got to deal straight with Hashem. All these other ideas that somehow you got to deal through a prophet, you got to deal through some statue or some physical piece. It's clear that that's not how Hashem works. You know, it's clear. It's what Hashem says. That's what he says right here. Verse 9. Hamishalos. And the early things that were mentioned, the early prophecies, guess what? Inebo, they came true. The Chadoshes and the new things, I'll tell you. The Terem Tetzmechana, before they will rise. In other words, we have a vision for the future, Eshmaeskan, and I will let you know. Now, this is a little bit of a song here. When we perceive that Hashem is created the, you know, the light of the Mashiach, and when it happens, so it's an obligation to thank Hashem and see Hashem, Shira, and we sing to Hashem. Person should be used to talking to Hashem and singing to Hashem, Shira Chodesh, and it should be a new song. Don't be just a repeat. A person should look for new ways to sing to Hashem. Tilaso and his praise, Mixei Aretz, Yordei Hayam Ulo, from people who go down into the sea. You know, when people travel by sea, and the boat rocks up and down on the waves, the Gemara says that sailors are fear Hashem, because when they get shaken up in the sea and they think the boat's about to sink, so they pray, right? As in the book of Jonah, that's described. The challenge is when the sea stops, many of them go back to the way it was before. But there's an idea that when a person goes down into sea and takes their life into Hashem's hand, they see Hashem and the people that inhabit these islands and their inhabitants. Verse 11, Yisu Midbar. Now, we believe that Hashem speaks to the entire world, and so he's describing not just the cities, not just Israel, but the far-off islands, the people in the sea, Yisu Midbar, the deserts, Va'arav, and the cities. This Kaseros, Teshev Keter, the people that live in Keter. Keter was a far-off place. I think it was like the nomads that live in their tents. They also, Yaranu, they will sing Rina, they will sing happy songs. Yoshvei Sela, what about the rock dwellers? Meirosh Harim, mountains are rocky, or people that live on top of Stone Mountain or whatever, people that live on the rocks. They also, Yitzel, will praise Hashem. It's kind of like the idea of picturing that, the different parts of the world and all the different inhabitants singing the song of Hashem. Yisu l'Hashem kavod, they'll give Hashem honor. It's also be'i Megidu, and they'll tell over his greatness and his praise. Verse 13, Hashem kegibo yetze, and they will see the power of Hashem. Hashem's like a strong man, like a hero. Ki ish milchamos, like a man of war. Yo'er kina, yori af yetzriya, people will shout, they'll cry, al oivav yisgaber, Hashem will overcome the enemies of his enemies. 14. People aren't used to Hashem. We live in a world where there's been a lot of darkness, a lot of wicked people, a lot of Hitlers, a lot of Stalins, a lot of, Assads, a lot of, terrible dictators and stuff. So that throughout a lot of history, Hashem was quiet. But Hashem, held himself back. When a woman gives birth, it's not natural for people to like to cry. And when a woman gives birth, she's kind of at first embarrassed to cry. It's just not a... But the pain becomes such that they have no choice, but they end up crying because the... So this almost describes that when Mashiach comes, Hashem will finally burst out of the quietness. In other words, he'll appear on the scene. It's an interesting idea that before the Mashiach comes, it takes great faith, and a person has to know what's right and do the right things, but we live in a world where other people don't recognize that. But once Hashem is recognized, then people won't be rewarded for that recognition anymore, because it'll be obvious, because Hashem will be on the scene, because he's going to burst out, so to speak. The people that he's going to burst out and come on the scene and punish the evildoers. Akriv Harim. And there'll be big mountains that'll have to be destroyed as well. The Kolos Avim Ovish. There'll be lots of things that have been built by different societies that'll have to be destroyed. And Vesamti Naros Le'iyim Vagamim Ovish. And Hashem's going to dry up those pools and those things of those societies that are not created in truth. 16. Va'olatim Ivim Bederech. And the blind people, the people that didn't see, all of a sudden I'm going to lead them. Lo yada minisivos, they didn't know which way to go. Lo yada adrikim, now I'm going to lead them. Asi machshok lifnehem. Hashem's going to make the darkness turn into light. Uma'akshim, and all the crookedness that life was so confusing to them, lamisha, will be a smooth path. Eledvor matisem, these are the things that I have done, velo azavtim, and I will not turn back on them. So there'll be a time where the darkness will be lifted, where there'll be a straight path. It'll be easier, right? We sometimes people live and things are a challenge, but the that time will change. 17. Nafko Acher. Some people will have to turn away. They'll be so embarrassed. Yevoshu Boshes. The people that worship these other gods and these other things have both seen the pesel. They put their hope in statues, Omri Lamasecha, and they said to a molten image, Atem Elokeinu, you're our God. Those people are going to be very embarrassed. Hachweshim Shamu. They prayed to dead things, to deaf things. Vavirim Habitu Liros. And the people that have been deaf need to listen, and the people that are blind now will need to see. 19. Mi Iver. Who is blind? Ki Im Abdi. Even my servants have been blind or the cherish and deaf. Kamalaka Eshlach, but I will send a messenger to them. Some people say, there are a lot of Jews that aren't religious that don't see the light, that have been blind or deaf. Hashem's going to save them too. Mi Iver Kamashulam, the Iver Ke'evet Hashem. But who has been as blind as even the servants of Hashem? Reisi Rabos Velo Tishmor. There's a lot to see. Pokok is 9, he's going to open people's eyes and their ears, and certainly they'll hear. 21. Hashem chafetz, Hashem wants, leman tzidko, because of its righteousness, yagdu Torah v'yadir. It's funny, some people complain about all the mitzvahs. There's so much Torah, there's so many things, but it's because Hashem wants to do good for us that he gives us so many mitzvahs, that he made the Torah, he multiplied it. In other words, yagdu means he made so many commands and so much Torah to learn. What will be the state of the Jewish people? Bahu am bezuye v'shasui. And the people will have been harassed, and there'll be people that have been. I think he's referring to the Jewish people that throughout the exile that we are harassed and we are embarrassed. Chafi b'churim. That even the young people are ashamed. Kulam ubate kaloyim, and people are hidden away. They're imprisoned. Hayu levaz ein matzo mashisa. The people, they're right now. They're they're imprisoned, they're trapped, they're in they're taken advantage of, and there doesn't seem to be anybody to save. The Ein Matzah Meshisa, the Ein Omer Hashem, nobody says, nobody knows how to pull us out. So right now, we are, it's interesting though, so now we're getting back from the Messianic vision to the present vision, where we're, right now we're a people that's being subjected to the exile and to the whims of the Goyim and the plunder, and we call out for help and there's no help. So who from among you will pay attention to this? Yakshiv Yishmor, and will hear what will be. Mi nasen l'mashisa Yaakov Yisrael l'voizu. Who do you think did this? Who decided that the Jewish people would suffer and that we would be subject to anti-Semitism and to people that would embarrass us? Hallo Hashem. It was to Hashem. This also, in fact, it's because of the Holocaust that we believe in Hashem. Chatanullah, we sinned to him. V'lo avi v'drachav, we didn't go in his ways. Holoch v'lo shama, we didn't do what we were supposed to. V'yishbach olav chema, and because of that, he threw on us his anger. He poured it on us. V'azuz milchama, and war. Talateo, and it blazed all around. V'lo yada v'tibribo, v'lo asim alev, and nobody paid attention. So, it paints a picture of the future with the present of the exile and of the subjugation by the nations, and people have to want to go in Hashem's ways. It's interesting. Sometimes we're not able to go in Hashem's ways, but we don't even want to go in Hashem's ways. But the sin is we didn't want to go in Hashem's ways, and when we had instruction, we didn't listen to it. So that's what made Hashem angry. A person has to want to go in Hashem's ways. He has to tell Hashem that I want to do what's right, and I want to go in your ways, and the person has to think about that and put that on his heart. So we'll stop here. Chapter 43.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.